South Africa's general election 2019 has been completed. On the telephone with me now is Annabel Bishop, the chief economist at Investec in Johannesburg. Annabel, 57.7%, I think, of the vote was for the ANC. I think the EFF came in with 10.8% and the DA came in with something else, which was slightly reduced from its previous showing. It was more or less predictable, I think, and it was rather a non-event.
Yes, I think it was. You know, in fact, it's actually being heralded as a boring election, which is quite good from a political stability perspective. And of course, what we want in South Africa is both political and policy stability, but certainly one which tends back towards the centrist political area, you know, not one that's either, you know, left-wing and populist or excessively right-wing, but one indeed which is, you know, centrist and one which delivers good policies and, of course, aimed at strong economic growth, the point of job creation, and, you know, in turn, really transformation, uplift into the majority of the people in South Africa. And indeed, in this line, we actually have, you know, heard that Cyril Ramaphosa is now going to set up an advisory panel, but basically looking to actually have a clear line of sight going forwards in terms of both the creation of economic policies in South Africa and indeed their delivery as well, which is very positive for South Africa because it's going to change the way that government was essentially run under the Jacob Zuma years, returning it instead towards the path that was followed under Thabo Mbeki. And of course, we recall that in that period, we did see very strong economic growth in South Africa.
I think one of the positive things about the election process that has occurred over the last few days is that it was free and fair. That's the first thing we can say, Annabel.
I think that's really important. You know, a couple of allegations of some double voting, you know, I think they may have arrested up to 20 people, but well, I'm not even too sure exact number. But the point really is that out of, you know, more than 10 million voters, that's really very statistically insignificant. So the key point, of course, is for South Africa, as you said, a calm, boring election, but one which is free and fair. And of course, one in which we can see a lot of voting for other political parties, small parties. And that really shows that, you know, everyone managed to have their say as they wanted to say it. You know, very typical globally now, the trend towards many parties and coalitions governing. South Africa, you know, we remain unusual in having one large political party, you know, essentially governing South Africa. And the point really is here that, you know, looking forwards now, getting over 50% of the vote nationally, and indeed even in the some of the key provinces, most of the key provinces, in fact, this really strengthens the ANC's hand to what we hope now will be a very strong period of delivery on strong economic growth, and of course, importantly, on job creation and investor confidence, and really hoping now to see business activity rally and lift in South Africa.
It's interesting to see the sort of mirror image of what's happened with the UK local elections, where small parties have done so well versus the big parties of Labour and Tory. And the same thing is happening in South Africa, given what you've just said. Smaller parties gaining some sort of traction there. Of course, they'll never become as big as the three parties that I've spoke about earlier on. But on the other hand, people are saying to themselves, well, maybe there is a different way to vote. There is a different way to govern.
I think, you know, it's true that there is increased diversity in terms of political outlook, something that has been a substantial trend globally, possibly coming on the back of social media, but certainly coming on the back of an ability to far increase the spread of political messages, but also as well providing more scope for individuals to align themselves with political parties which they feel reflect more of their view. But I think, you know, South Africa perhaps not so similar as many of the countries in Europe in that, you know, the gains that these tiny parties have made are so small to many actually being insignificant and thereby not actually yielding them even a seat in Parliament.
The real work starts now, says President Ramaphosa. That's the headline on Business Day this morning on the Business Day Live website. Now, what does it mean for the markets? Let's talk about the markets now because that's the real test. What about the rand? What about the bond market, Annabel?
Look, I think we would have actually seen a significantly stronger rand were it not for this very significant escalation in trade tensions that President Donald Trump of the US seems determined to bring about. You know, now obviously moving into the territory or moving closer certainly to the territory of an actual trade war. Concerning because, of course, you know, this is very negative for global economic growth, particularly confidence in the global economy. And, of course, in turn, you know, that could negatively impact financial markets. South Africa's good outcome, certainly what is being perceived as a good outcome in the elections, is seen to be a bit of a counterbalance to this, so providing some strength to the currency at a time when many emerging market currencies themselves are actually faltering because of this escalation in trade tensions. So I think in the absence of such a good election outcome, we would potentially have seen a significantly weaker rand, not just because of the election itself, but also, of course, as well because of what's happening on the international stage. So having a look at our currency itself, you know, moving down towards about 14.22, closer to the US dollar, closer to about 14.50 prior to the elections, these are all quite key points. And, of course, you know, something which is important for us looking forwards, because if we continue to see the Ramaphosa presidency gain traction, we could see a continued improvement in our currency, slow but steady. Obviously, we'll remain open to international events and being impacted by events in international financial markets. But if the Ramaphosa presidency is seen now to finally deliver the change that is really craved by, you know, the business environment and the markets, you know, whether it's replacing corruption in certain areas, strengthening governance, but certainly, you know, enabling a stronger economic growth and business environment, one which the private business sectors included and supported, then I think we will actually see, you know, further strength in our domestic currency. And indeed, we may even be on track in a couple of years' time to return to purchasing power parity, which is our fair value. So this remains our expected case. And of course, in that environment that I've outlined, we would then anticipate seeing Moody's rating agency retain South Africa's investment grade rating that they hold on our long-term sovereign debt.
You mentioned the word crave and you mentioned Moody's. And what do you think the international rating agencies will have made of what's happened over the last few days? They'll be pleased, obviously, that there was no allegations of violence or electioneering or interference in the election. And the fact that the ANC has come in with 57.7%, whatever the number is, they'll probably say, well, never mind what the numbers are. This is stability, and we like stability, and we will therefore give South Africa a rating that is favourable.
Look, Standard & Poor's said that they expected this to be the outcome. They expected the ANC to gain majority, and they expect growth-enhancing reforms. And as a consequence, they are happy with where their credit rating is. So I think from that perspective, they're going to need a lot more. You know, Standard & Poor's will actually need to see substantial economic growth, and they'll need to see an improvement in the creditworthiness of South Africa, the perceived creditworthiness of South African government debt. In other words, a likely improved ability to repay the debt. But, you know, having a look at Moody's, of course, has been quite positive in terms of our credit rating, but again, also one where they did anticipate this peaceful election. So I think outcomes. So I think, you know, from that perspective, we really are now sitting in an environment in South Africa where delivery has become absolutely crucial. We note that the presidency is now likely to flesh out its own plan in terms of investment and economic growth for South Africa. And I think, you know, it's probably appropriate. They don't want to continue doing things the same way as the previous presidency did under Jacob Zuma. But of course, you know, with a reduction in the number of ministers in the cabinet, with an combination likely of many ministries, and certainly with a strong focus on deliverables and appointing individuals in this cabinet who can affect the delivery of economic growth, job creation and transformation, that then should ultimately prove positive for the credit rating agencies. So we would expect to see some type of note or comment from the agencies being supportive of the election outcome, but we wouldn't yet expect to see any actual changes either in ratings or outlooks.
The real work starts now, as I said earlier on. Do you believe this? And do you, when you sit down and you write your report, which you will be doing so, or rather you have been doing so over the weekend, you will say this is a positive result for the Republic of South Africa, Annabel?
I think that is the general perception. Certainly, you know, the election has proved to be very in line with expectations, both on the day by the CSIR model and, of course, you know, an average really of the polls. Obviously, there was an outlier in the polling, but the general expectation amongst the polls is that it's been, you know, it's shown to be pretty much in line with that. You know, really, you know, looking forwards, I think we probably are going to see South Africa given a bit of a grace period now, and over the next few months, markets are going to be eagerly watching to see what comes out. What is government's new industrial policy going to be? You know, that's something which has been highlighted by the ANC now. They're looking to start a very strong drive towards, continue attracting investment, is certainly towards better activity in terms of business and obviously focused on the industrial sector. We've seen South Africa deindustrialize, you know, over the past couple of decades. So all of these now are going to be watched. And of course, you know, if towards the end of the year we are still seeing poor and weak economic growth, then we would be marked down. But I think between then and now, you know, certainly over the next few weeks, we're going to see the first quarter GDP figure come out. It's likely to be negative, showing a contraction in GDP. That'll probably take a little bit of the shine off the markets in terms of the positive confidence that's been generated by the election outcome. But, you know, moving forwards now, certainly over the pace of the next 12 months, I think that is when the steady improvement is anticipated. In the absence of that, then there's probably going to continue to be some lingering concern about South Africa. You know, when will we lift our growth and economic outlook? But we do believe that we're going to see a strengthening in the South African economy. I think we believe that the correct structures are going to be put in place and we're going to start to see the correct deliverables. But I think it would be unrealistic to expect this to happen immediately or very, very soon.
A small step in the right direction, I think. Annabel, thank you so much for your time. That's Annabel Bishop, who's the chief economist at Investec in Johannesburg.
The views expressed are those of the contributors at the time of publication and do not necessarily represent the views of the firm and should not be taken as advice or recommendation. Investec Specialist Bank, a division of Investec Bank Limited, is a registered credit provider.